It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell. And you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
Bam.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go. Friday, 5 o'clock. Nice summer heat. NHL draft tonight. Free agency next week. I will say the NHL calendar, I guess the finals, if you can make it to the end of the finals, then the draft and free agency, it does fill a hole for us. Not if you have the Yankees or the Oklahoma City Thunder or some team that, you know, otherwise occupies you.
Yeah.
But it does fill this little Bills break mid-June to mid-July. And hopefully the Sabres cannot make us mad here. Free agency is usually miserable.
Yep.
So July 1, but sometimes interesting. We've had our dalliances. We've been brought along a time or two on top free agents. We've been
memories of the Pegula copter.
Oh yeah,
remember the Pegula copter? That was Brad Richards. That was that first off season after he took over. Like the agent, I think it was big name in the NHL agent world, and I can't think of the name now. Anyway, Newport Sports, maybe, and I can't think of the name of the guy. Whatever. Mississauga, or like, Jim's going to fly the Pegula copter over there to meet with Brad Richards and whoever the name of the guy is, I can't think of. Yeah, that didn't happen.
It did, or didn't, they didn't sign him. Did they actually go?
Oh, I don't know if they ever went. I just like the idea of there being a Pegula copter back then.
If you're Richards, you know, you sort of take the meeting because it's leverage.
Right.
But maybe have no intention of signing with the Sabres. You know, how many of those are there? Were any of them, for whatever, however many there were that were disappointments, it was one of Terry's daughters, right, who tweeted, "So no Richards." That's how we, then we read into that for 15 minutes before it was made official.
Right.
How many of those were there where we, I mean, Babcock was one. Babcock, I was in a parking lot listening to like the final hour of that saga with him. Taking meetings and making that decision. Were any of these, though, in the end, regrettable that the Sabres did not sign these players or coaches? Like, would Babcock or Brad Richards or whoever else is on this list have brought what we wanted?
The Rangers, I remember Paul pushing back on this when it happened. That was a disaster of a signing. And it definitely did not pan out the way you would have wanted it to. But they made the playoffs with him. I don't know where they were prior to that. But you know, he was decent and then just it fell apart.
Wanted Broadway.
Yeah, it was not... The regret was more that they pivoted to Leno than they lost out on Richards. Richards caused them to chase Leno, and Leno was a disaster. To me, Richards would have been better than that, but still not that fulfilling in the end, I don't think. I would say, even though it didn't get to free agency, we spent some time contemplating them chasing Stamkos.
Yep.
Families close by, they might really like that. Not the fishbowl of Toronto, whatever. And he never got to free agency. He was one of like three things that happened on the day before, like June 30th. Stuff, there was a Subban Weber trade and Stamkos re-signing. And something else. There were like three big things all that day.
It was another trade.
I can't remember the third trade now, or the third transaction, but it was a trade.
Subban and Shea Weber?
Right.
One for one?
There might have been stuff attached, but they were the principals. Yeah, Subban from Montreal to Nashville, and Weber went to Montreal.
And so Subban played for Nashville?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The Richards, first year Rangers, Richards team went to the conference finals.
Okay.
Lost to Jersey.
All right.
When I had Jersey to win the East.
Oh, what is that other... I can't think. I just cannot think of it. I think I don't want to build it up to like it's so big that I'm going to be really mad when I hear it, but it was significant. I just cannot remember what it is.
Okay.
Somebody's going to tell us. I'm imagining my Twitter. I'm going to get a mention on Twitter here. Somebody's going to say sure. That is what it was. But anyway.
Well, this is no effort by me to like illustrate how the Sabres have actually been right all these times.
Right.
I'm not really going for that.
Don't do that. Yeah.
But, you know, they say, you mentioned Paul,
yep.
July 1st is just, you know, look out.
You can
riddled with disaster.
Really hurt yourself long term if you, yeah.
But the Sabres game is always different, or it could be. The credibility end of it, you know, just, well, maybe this is bad money. We know the player's old. We know the player's limited, but we've got to reinvent ourselves here. We've got to reinvent our image.
Yeah.
And so that's maybe part of what all that was, or it was just an honest effort to go get the best guys available.
Right.
Babcock became like, that was a disaster. Ultimately, like he was a good coach, but
right.
You know, ended
badly. Hall for Larson from Edmonton to New Jersey. Taylor Hall.
You know, I only think of him as a Saber.
For Adam Larson. That was one for one. Thank you, Kyle, on Twitter. That's the other trade that happened that day. I'm not fact checking that, but that rings a bell.
Sure. Okay.
So
when Hall ends up coming through here,
right?
It's hard to remember anything else.
Right. He won an MVP in New Jersey.
He won the Hart, and then he came here, and then he went to Boston. Didn't the Sabres trade him to Boston?
Yes.
In memorable trades in Sabres history. Trading Taylor Hall to Boston.
And one of the most unforgettable moments in Sabres history that they chose to broadcast is the owner's voice on the phone talking to Kevin Adams on one of those produced in-house, behind-the-scenes things when Adams takes the idea of Taylor Hall signing a one-year, $8 million deal here to the owner. The owner says, if we get this guy, we're going for the cup, or we're a cup contender, or whatever he said, something to that effect. I'm like, wow.
You know, guy can dream.
Yeah.
What would have been better? Not having him on the call, not having that be streamed. What would have him saying we can get to eighth this way? What would have been better? I don't know.
But I think not including it in the thing at all would have been a better move.
It's one of those.
Yeah, it's one of those. You shouldn't have put that in there.
We can't have Terry in anything, but it's a problem if he's not in anything. Because if he's not in anything,
right.
Where is he? If he's in it, he's saying things like that, and maybe that can make people's jobs over there kind of tough.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, you know, the imaging. Mike as well. Mike, hi.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good.
Just wanted to call before the commercial break. You were mentioning what you would love to see at the draft tonight and what you would not like to see at the draft.
Yes.
Just being a longtime Buffalonian, I'd love to see him just make a splash just to ignite the fan base. I know they took a shot last year with Lindy trying to rejuvenate some old past memories, but we just need to make a splash and maybe get some talented top six forward in here and maybe trade that ninth pick. And then one thing I don't want to see is another draft pick of a 5'9", 175-pound forward. I just feel like we got a whole stable of those guys.
Okay. Do they actually have too many of those guys, by the way? This gets said a lot. This is why – what? Just like this is why you didn't want Rossi, right? Because he'd be somebody else who's just not big enough.
Well, yeah, but even the NHL roster is full of centers as it is. So there's not really a spot to put him because of really Norris mostly. And I would say Kulik too. Like right now, I would prefer to see Kulik through at a cheaper price than fill that hole with Marco Rossi myself. But yeah. It's Oslund is this guy, Helenius is that, like size-wise, profile-wise, they're not all the same type player, but they are the same body type. One of them, there's one, Wahlberg might be a bigger guy, out of that bunch of guys.
But these are not players who are on the team.
No, no, that's right. But so what it's saying, like, don't draft another guy that fits that profile is what the caller is suggesting, the guys I mentioned.
If Benson would be included here, he's on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, they're not small. The Sabres NHL roster is not small. Maybe they're not rugged, or they're not, you know, willing to fight for each other, all those kinds of things, but they're not like us. I don't think it's a small. I wonder where they would rank. Height and weight? Forwards?
Well, yeah, I mean, Thompson helps your average.
So does Tuck.
From a height standpoint, Tuck has got good size. Quinn's not small. He's just, Tuck is the only one who really is physical in any way, shape, or form.
What's Greenway?
Of that group. No, Greenway is definitely that. Greenway is that.
I mean, when you're drafting, we're talking about ninth overall here, right? So you're drafting somebody that ideally has high-end talent. If they're not 6'2", if they are 6'2", they're not going ninth. Somebody with the requisite talent, I think even that early in the draft, every year is different, but is that maybe a little bit what it sounds like? The guy that Brayton ranked 10th is 6'5". McQueen is his name. Roger McQueen, 6'5". Maybe he's not thick, but he's, you know, he's also probably 18.
Right. He's got a chance to, you know, grow into his body, sure.
Yeah. 6'5". He's already that. He's not going to get shorter, at least. So I don't know. You're always hearing about little guys, you know, little forwards. And there have been some of those, but not so much on the NHL roster. And by the way, Doan, who's bottom six, but he's another bigger player.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Here's Jim next. Hi, Jim. Jim?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
The question what I have to say is, first of all, Bulldog, happy birthday. We share a birthday yesterday.
My birthday is on Tuesday, but congratulations on your birthday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And if you go back and listen to the tape when Terry Pegula made the comment to Adams, you know, if we pick up Taylor Hall, you know, this is not going to get us to the playoffs. It's going to get us, you know, to win the cup. That was, you know, his reaction to that was, you know, not surprising to me, you know, kind of knowing how Terry Pegula is. Listen to what Adams said to Pegula when he said that. He says to Pegula, oh, absolutely. That's what shocks me more.
Yeah.
That guy is a general manager. Right. And he's going to pick up one player.
Yeah.
And he's going to get to the cup. That shocks me.
I like this point. Yes.
Well, look, I mean, what could he say? And what could he say that would be streamed by the Sabres? What if Adams has like a expression of shock on his face?
I think if he says, well, Terry, that's not really going to get it done, then they're not signing Taylor Hall. Like, Pegula's going to say, I'm not paying $8 million for Taylor Hall unless you tell me it's good. Like, I think that. So Adams wants Taylor Hall. He thinks Taylor Hall is going to help them and help them end a playoff drought. And so he's just, you know, he's yes-manning the owner right there, I think. Like, you got it. I don't know if it was sincere or not, but I could see a scenario where you're just telling the guy what he wants to hear so you can sign this player.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not thinking of it in terms of they're actually discussing it. I'm more think, but they are. I'm more thinking of it in terms of like it being shared. And if instead of hearing that, you have Adam's face on camera, he's like, okay. I mean, that would not get out, right? That would not have been sent. I don't know. What would have been best? What would have been best? Does he just explain you what would have been best, irrespective of it being streamed? Like, what should really have been said in that moment? Adams, I think, had the right to be excited about.
Sure.
Are we talking about this all? What did the last guy want? A splash. How many NHL players can
Taylor
name?
Hall was a 50. Very credible idea.
Sure.
It did not go well at all, because nothing is allowed to go well here, apparently, when it comes to the hockey team. That's just a rule. I don't know. We have some problem. But it was a credible idea. I don't know what is best. Like, yeah, no, this guy can really help us.
I was into it.
Sure.
It shouldn't have been bad. It shouldn't have hurt.
He was a year removed from the MVP at that time.
You know? This is the thing the Sabres can't do.
Right. And his coming, along with Eric Staal in the same offseason and getting traded before the deadline, is a part of the image problem that they continue to endure. Because the guys that they do get to come here, I got to go. Psych, I got to go. This is no good.
He scored 2 goals for the Sabres. And didn't we have a bet?
Taylor Hall scored 2 goals for the Sabres?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Didn't we have a bet that he would score? There was like a game against Boston. I think I remember betting he would score more goals against the Sabres that season than for the Sabres. And I think he scored 2 in 1 game for Boston, but not 3.
Right.
Almost.
Yes, there was a bet. With Paul was involved in the Taylor Hall.
Paul's Mr. Papa Giorgio these days with the betting.
Maybe that's where it started.
Maybe. Maybe that was where it started.
He got a taste and he just can't stop.
The Taylor Hall bet. He'll score more goals against the Sabres than he did for them. And he almost did.
Yes.
Scored 8 goals in 16 games for Boston.
That's a tremendous memory on you over there. Now, I'm not surprised. I'm just complimenting you.
He had 8 goals in 17 games for Boston. After 2 in 37 here. I'll take $8 million. Here's Dave next. Hi, Dave. Oh my!
I'm here.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi guys, I'm here. Thanks for taking the phone call.
You're welcome.
You got here quicker than I thought. I just wanted to say, like, I didn't listen to your show earlier, but I'm really hoping the Sabres keep their pick number 9. Like, I think there's Mertka there, Aitchison, Jackson. There's some quality defensemen that can really help your team down the road. And I know there's this big rush to make, you know, the playoffs, but the Eastern Conference is awfully tough. And you do get enough trade assets with Byram. You could look at maybe Rosen, Östlund. There's other things to move. Pick number 9 kind of gives you some hope for the future. And that defenseman, Mertka, he was there. I mean, look at this defensive core as time goes on. And, you know, and I know we're in this rush to end the drought, but there's been a lot of mistakes along the way, so to say. But to keep – and they are actually still building this roster. When you look at the trade with Paterka, they're still building a roster. And I don't – you know, see the fault in that part of it. And maybe being at the Bills' place will bring them a little bit of draft luck, but I mean...
I sure hope so. All right, Dave, thank you for the call. I'm in a rush. We're in a rush to end the drought. Is that what this is?
Well, I get it. I agree with him
14 years.
In wanting to just not be like, all right, the Sabres just went to the semifinals and now it's on. Like, I think it's okay. It's respectable to sort of take a longer view. But I think in the end, I would side with making a move for the present. I just think if you had a 2-year playoff drought instead of 14, something normal, then this is, I think, what we would do. Is be like, all right, well, one more guy, what's the fit, whatever. Like, it wouldn't be just this urgency that is just kind of artificial based on the last 14 years. So I'm with him there. I just think drafting a defenseman would go over badly. You made this trade yesterday. They now lack for offense, I think. And you've got 2 number 1 overall picks. One's good, one's great. You've got the money in Samuelson. Maybe you want to get out of that. Now you've got this guy, Kesselring. Like, you've got enough there, I think, to survive. You know, whoever they drafted 9 anyway is not going to be on the roster this year. So it's not even like about the 6
right.
defensemen.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just like, Dahlin is forever. Power is forever. And I think I should be able to patchwork the rest of it. They just have not succeeded yet. And at forward, the 9th pick overall, I want that somebody to be somebody who could really be a star. I mean, that should be possible with that pick. Could a defenseman be a star? Sure. But the Sabres are now, I think, a little bit heavy on the blue line and not as much up front. So
I don't agree with that at all. I think in Rochester, like prospect-wise, their prospect pool defensively, I think has there's a couple of rushing kids, and I don't know that they project as anything more than bottom pair guys. They do not have anybody really coming. Forward-wise, they've got this bunch of guys that we just talked about that are all kind of similar. And I don't know if any of them are going to hit the beach effectively for them as forwards, but they've got a half a dozen guys maybe. Led by Roseanne might be the most experienced, and then Hellenius from last year is the least experienced. And in between, there's, I think, three other guys. So I think prospect pool-wise, I could easily defend picking a defenseman. They're not long in that, really. Power hitting so quickly, sort of, you know, which is what you expect when you're drafting 101,
sure.
Of course. I like the idea of a defenseman at nine myself.
Okay, we can talk about that some more, because it sounds like as far as those forwards go, the ceiling maybe is not generally that high. Thinking of Scott Wheeler on Roseanne, you know, is he a 4A player? What is their top six player in that bunch? Like within 2 years, the season after this next one at the soonest, I think, you know, can I expect that? And I just think with Dahlin and Power, you should be able to figure out the rest without even worrying about your prospects. I mean, that should just be the right choices judiciously. Maybe Kesselring is one of those. Like you want to think so.
I definitely hope so.
They probably are betting on that.
But even with that said, it took them 3 years to find their way to a partner for Power. So I'm good with replenishing defense.
Your problem is, well, part of this is you just don't think they'll get it right. Going out and signing Clifton, you know, the moves they've made are proof that they won't get it right.
Yeah, I would rather draft someone promising and let him develop and bring him here rather than go sign the guy that's willing to come.
Yeah, well, that might be the reality. But I think apart from that sort of doom and gloom position, that's how you should do it with the investments in Dahlin and Power. Anyway, we can talk about that some more. Thanks for the call, Dave. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. Round one of the NHL draft tonight starting at 7. You can follow it right here on WGR.
What someone said to me is all of a sudden, you know, you look at that Buffalo defense. You got Dahlin Byram, you got Power Kesselring, you got Samuelson Bernard Docker. That could be, in theory, a real strength of their team. And again, the Sabres might not feel the same way, but this was an executive on another team. He was looking at it and saying, like, that's not a bad defense. If Buffalo isn't crazy about the offers for Byram, maybe you start the season with them. Could do a lot worse than what you got there.
Elliot Friedman, first of all, a strength of their team. How many areas are there? Three?
You want to count coaching? Sure. Yeah. Forward, defense, goal. Yeah.
One of the strengths of the team would be the blue line. One of the top two, I guess, then. Mm-hmm. What is that even to say? I mean, Byram, no. Samuelson, no. Whoever the executive is that's offering how, you know, Samuelson looks like a nice, including him or even Byram, in an assessment that, you know, but however modest it was, a strength of their team is to say what? That's my main point. Yeah, okay. Nope. Talk me into defenseman at nine, if you want, through the prospects. Through, hang on, I got it here. Radim Mertka, right? That's
sure.
One of them?
Yep.
And Scott Wheeler also mentioned Kayshawn Acheson.
Sure.
Acheson.
They're both big. I feel like Mertka, I'm not as comfortable describing Acheson from memory. Mertka is, there's an edge there, I think. And maybe the same is true of Acheson. I feel like they were sort of lumped into the same pail. And really, I'm thinking about size more than physicality even. Like you watch... I mean, I'm sorry, right? Watch Florida. Watch even Tampa. Tampa has been this, you know, of course, headed up by Hedman, But the rest of their defense are all just big dudes with long, they got a lot of reach, just good sticks, and defending. So it's one of the reasons why I still remain as bullish on Power. You know, I realize that somebody who is his size, you'd like to see more physicality there, but defending is about taking away time and space as much as it's about running guys over.
Yep.
And Power should be equipped to, his stick is very, very good. And so get me reach, right? I'm thinking of Mikula on Florida, mainly when I'm making this point. He's a player that, to me, I never really thought once or twice about at all until they started having all the success. And, like, he's big. He's jumping up the ice. But in his own zone, he's hard in front of the net just because of his sheer size. And, again, Power lacks that. He does not have an awareness, really, in front of his net that is satisfying yet. But I still want to give that time. He's still a kid at this point in his career, I think. Maybe I'm being a little generous, but still. And there's still room for growth. So I think I need some size there to just handle. If the game is getting heavier, which I think it is, I don't know how long that will last. 5 years ago, I was totally fine drafting every Cole Caulfield that came down the highway. Any 5'8", 5'9", I don't care. Even if he's a defenseman. Can he move the puck? Can he skate? That's at a premium. But I've got that box checked right now with Power and Dahlin at the top end of my roster. Would I like to have another one? Really, that's what Byram represented. Because he's the same cloth, just not really not having as positive an effect when he's separated from Dahlin, like you've said numerous times. I think that's irrefutably true and a reason why I'm not eager to re-sign him and keep him around. So I want size back there. Because I've got in this window right now with Dahlin and Power, I've got the skill that I need to work. I shouldn't need another guy that duplicates those skill sets. So what do I need to fill it out? I need some meanness. I need some size. I need some reach. I just need guys who are tough to get around in front of the net. And so that's the appeal to the big defenseman to me. And, you know, their depth chart in Rochester, I already mentioned it. Like, Novikov, Komarov, Sturback is a draft pick from last year, and I'm just not sure really where he projects at this point. But, like, Ryan Johnson is still in the system, and that's over. And he's more Dahlin-style, more puck-mover skill guy than he is, you know, hard to deal with in the corners or in front of the net. So I think while the league is diving toward physicality and size, the forecheck and that kind of stuff, and really just trying to smash the door of the house down in front of the net, I need some trees back there. So that's the appeal of the big defenseman to me. They don't have now. They did just get Kesselring, and he definitely fits that profile, and I'm excited about that. But I could use another one or two, and maybe a highly drafted guy that has some good puck skills to go along with it, because I don't think these guys would be rated where they're rated just because they're big. They got to be able to move and handle the puck reasonably well. So I'm just looking to supplement the puck moving and skill with a little more size and preferably some grit and toughness if I can get it.
Radim Mirka, who played juniors in Seattle, right?
I believe that's right, yes.
It's the player on the table. Let's go to Jim next. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I'm calling just, you know, big pick tonight. I'm thinking, you know, with Kesselring, it's really time now. Power's really got to step up. I mean, it's either time to move on, become great, get a little more physical. But, you know, with the defense now, we got a big defense. We got Samuelson, we got Kesselring, and we got Powers. Those are all big boys. I'm just, you know, whatever happened to Ryan Johnson? Is he ever going to get back to the NHL? And the other guy that might be up and coming is that Novikov, that Russian kid. I think they got him during COVID, fourth round pick, something like that. Is he ever going to get a chance to play?
I couldn't say. But Johnson, I thought, was kind of... I was optimistic for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said that's over, right? You think?
I just don't feel like it's popping. I mean, he was there in Rochester this year again. So I'm actually confirming to make sure. I feel like I never heard his name this year one time. I just feel like he has settled comfortably into, you know, will he play in the league? Yeah, maybe. Expansion might be coming. You know, like, he's, who am I thinking of? Just any journeyman defenseman that, you know, maybe he'll play, maybe he won't, you know, Will Borgen type of guy, or the kid from Wheatfield, Clendenning, like, in and out AHL, Dennis Gilbert, like, tweener guy. Johnson, I think the idea of him being an impactful NHL player, I think the ship has sailed.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Tonight, I believe, would be the third time the Sabres have used the 9th overall pick. I don't know if you know that. Have you seen that somewhere?
No, I have not.
I'm counting only two other 109s in Sabres history. One is recent. Matthew Savoy. Since traded. By the way, how did he do this year? Do you know anything about him this year when he was traded to Edmonton?
Minors. I feel like maybe he got a game or two in the NHL. I'd have to look at his page, but I don't know that it's off track necessarily. But he did not, you know, he did not end up on Connor McDavid's wing or anything.
Right. So that is 2022, and the other 109 goes back 40 years from there.
Oh boy.
But it was the second pick the Sabres had in that draft. They drafted Phil Housley at 106 out of high school. And that went okay.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. At 16, they drafted Dave Anderchuk in this 1982 draft.
That also went okay.
Out of Oshawa. Also in the Hall of Fame. And in between, they drafted a guy who was good, but maybe not what they had hoped for in terms of a ceiling, and he's since passed. Paul Sear.
Sure. Big shot.
Big shot. Paul Sear. 470 games in the league out of Victoria in the Western League.
Savoy. Oh, geez. I'm sorry. I'm at a website that ads are just untenable.
ESPN.com?
No. People who look at prospect pages know what I'm talking about. He played four games with Edmonton this year, one assist. 66
what a
games,
pass, though.
66 games in the minors, 19 goals, 35 assists. So, okay. You know, decent year in the minors.
They might not have had room for him.
For Savoy. Edmonton, yeah, probably not. Yeah.
So if anybody else knows of a 109 in Sabres history, let me know. I'm just doing this, looking through the whole history of their drafts. A lot of eights. Quinn was an eight. Ristolainen was an eight. Mittelstadt was an eight. One other one the year before.
Grigorenko?
No, more recent.
Okay.
Quinn, Mittelstadt, Ristolainen, one other more recent was an eight.
Don't know.
Don't know either. Benson was like a 13, 12 or 13. He was a faller in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
The NHL draft starts tonight. Round one coming up just after 7, a little more than an hour from now. Paul Hamilton will join us at 6 to preview it. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR. Cool night. Round one of the NHL draft, rounds 2 through 7 tomorrow. It's almost like football. Football manages 3 days because the other sports are just not trying hard enough. But football goes round one Thursday night, rounds 2 and 3 Friday night, rounds 4 through 7 Saturday. Hockey is round one Friday night, rounds 2 through 7 Saturday. They only need 2 days for this. Tonight's events take place at LA's Peacock Theater. The Sabres tweeted earlier that the Goo Goo Dolls would announce their pick. Maybe they'll be at the Peacock Theater. It is an arena,
yep.
So maybe. But I just wondered earlier, like, do all the teams have somebody on hand to announce picks for them? Would the Sabres be one of the few to do that? Could the Goo Goo Dolls, who apparently are in L.A.?
Rehearsing, yes. Word from people close to the Goo Goo Dolls tell me they're rehearsing in L.A.
That maybe it's something where they just sort of get on Zoom and do it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
I'm predicting
we'll find out.
I'm predicting they'll be there.
Okay. Peacock Theater.
Sources close to them have not told me that. I'm not playing cute here. I don't know that, but my guess is that they'll be there.
If you're wondering, the Sabres people will not be there. Somebody with the team might be. Maybe not. I don't know. But this year they did it so all the teams are not going to go up there with jerseys and 15 executives and giving long speeches.
Right. I'm imagining we get some combination of the commissioner and Bill Daly, the assistant commissioner, and the Goo Goo Dolls.
Football has been like this. You think of it, right? Brandon Bean isn't in Green Bay.
Right.
I asked Pete Guelli before this recent NFL draft at Lambeau Field how many people in the Bills football department would be in Green Bay for the draft. He said none. He said he told me they're sending people because we want to host the draft. So people doing sort of intel on actually hosting the draft. But he said nobody from football goes or went this year, at least this one case. Mm-hmm. We'll have Paul Hamilton coming up at 6. Tomorrow, the Scott Fishbowl draft at Fatty Beer in North Tonawanda. You'll find me there. Bulldogs doing the ride for Roswell.
Indeed, I am.
Earlier today, I was looking up one of the prospects, a guy Brayton likes or mocked to the Sabres, Brady Martin from Sault Ste. Marie. And I noticed that he was born in March of 2007. That checks. That's where we are.
Yeah.
And so I looked up the 07. I had the 07 Sabres season on the page and noticed that the Sabres played a game in Tampa on the day of his birth, March 16th. On the 15th, they played in Florida, and I went to that game with my wife in Florida and some friends. And I had the box score open from that game. It was how I remembered it. The Sabres won 5-3. Ty Conklin was in net. I'm sure I was a little bit disappointed that Miller didn't get the game. Mm-hmm. As, you know, we're down there. And it turned out to be his only win with the Sabres, Conklin.
Really?
One win.
Wow.
Maybe two losses, two or three. And he earned it. They got outshot by Florida like 45-21 or something like that in that game. Maybe there were red sirens going off about that team by mid-March. There was remember a game in Toronto that they lost like 8-2 or something like that down the stretch that year?
Yes.
They were wobbling.
Yes.
And this Florida game that they won with their backup goalie was kind of one of them.
If I remember correctly, I can dig up the old schedule. I think that big lopsided loss in Toronto was a part of two games back-to-back in Toronto. The league started doing that a little bit. I remember liking the idea, like a baseball series, right? Like you pull into town and play, you know, two or three games, some animosity going, that kind of thing. And there was a day off in between, I think, this brutal loss they had up there.
And they won the other one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tight.
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I remember it. But
same here.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we're at.
Ty
Players
Conklin.
That are being born at about when the Sabres won their last series.
Ty Conklin, who a year later would win the Winter Classic for the Pittsburgh Penguins against the Sabres.
Right, the next season.
Yep.
Paul joins us next. What's good tonight? What's not? We'll go over it with Paul Hamilton, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog here, WGR.